When I was a Boy Scout, we used to sing that Kumbaya. It's about 50 years ago or more. So that was a very, 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 very long time. I get acquainted to this sound. I'm glad to see all of you here this morning, for it is an honor for me to be here to bring the word of God. And I would like to thank God for waking me up this morning.
Amen.
And keep me in very good health. I would like also to thank Pastor Armstrong for calling me, because I didn't want to come to Shiloh. But he said, no, usually I want you here. I want you here. Every time he saw me in the store, on the street, wherever we are, at Princeton, he said, Bush, I want you to come to Shiloh. Regardless of where you are, although he said, that was a very hard question for him, but he said, regardless of where you are, I want you to be at Shiloh. You cannot have whatever schooling you have and stay out there. I want you here. But I thank him for that, because the man had taught me a lot. There's a group of men here. Not only they taught me, they teach me how to befriend and make good friends with a lot of the men. So when we went on retreat, we tease one another. We learned to get on the wrong side of one another. And we fight with one another. Believe it or not, when men get together, what happened? We fight together. And then, before you know it, and we get connected in love and continue the ministry. So I would also to thank the men's ministry, the leader of the men's ministry, Larry and Kelly, for the fellowship they taught us. And Charlie Davis, in his absence, because he fed us good. To the point that myself, I told Kelly and Larry, let's have this retreat twice a year so I can eat good. Because I don't think when I was in Haiti, I ate that good. But they fed us very well, seriously. Love flows through this. So regardless of snow, sleet, or ice, we are here at Shiloh on Tuesday night. So I would thank Pastor Armstrong for that. I would be remiss if I don't thank the choir, especially Miss Betty, for yesterday's rendition. Not only today, yesterday's rendition at the breakfast was like you go to Carnegie Hall. Which whoever goes to Carnegie Hall, don't raise your hand now. And that's what we had yesterday at the Westin Hotel yesterday. It was excellent. The sound perfect. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I want to thank Betty and the choir for that yesterday. Because in other words, what the church is doing is bringing the mission of the church out of the building into the world.
Amen.
Into the world. So it was perfectly done, and thanks be to God that we have such harmonious voice. Before we pray, I have two disclaimers. The first one is that, you know, I have an accent by now, so if you don't understand what I say, please forgive me, because English is not my first language. The second one, what I'm going to speak about, it is not an indictment of anybody, even if I name somebody's name, or it's not an indictment about the church. It is nothing bad, it's very good. But it is a disclaimer. In other words, for you to look at the call that you have.
Amen.
And see how that call can be fulfilled in the society in which we are living. So for that, I would like you to pray with me and for me on the title, The Undeniable Divider. Undeniable Divider. So let us pray. This is God, bow before you to give you thanks and praise for everything you have done for us. Thank you for the song of adorations that you brought to our soul this morning. So you can bring us before you, as all the angels are singing before you day and night. We want to thank you for those harmonious voices. We want to thank you for the brothers and the sisters who are here from different parts of the continent, from different parts of the world, from Africa, Haiti, Europe, from the north, the south. We want to thank you to bring all of us here as one, as your people. Bless this Shiloh Baptist Church upon which you bestow the ministry of proclaiming the word, not only here in Trenton, New Jersey, or in the state of New Jersey or in the U.S., but throughout the world. Bless the leader of this church, Pastor Armstrong, for his vision So not only he can embolden all of us who are under his voice and under his directive, under his teaching, but wherever we go, whatever you give him to give to unto us, we can be a representative not only of you, for you are the one who called us, but also of Shiloh, and be proud of the teaching that we have received from him. Bless all of us who are here. Guide us, protect us. Now I'm going to open the Bible. Bless my voice, so the sound can be understood. My accent will not be in between, but people will hear you, and you, and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I have a very familiar passage. I was talking to myself about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't remember how long, Pastor Armstrong had called me and asked me to preach today. And from the time he asked me to now, I had already 5 different biblical narratives to read. And it's sad to say, it's last night, Pastor, that I finally find another word. All things I have written before, completely gone, and start fresh. It was 11:25 p.m. So bear with me. Hopefully the Lord will have his way. Please let us stand to open the Bible with me on the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. It is a very familiar passage. Any one of you who have been in church for a month or two, you have heard this preaching. The Gospel according to John. John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 10. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisee had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. Keep verse 4 in mind. Now Jesus had to go to Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a woman from Samaria, or a Samaritan woman, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me something to drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews has no business to associate themselves with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. This morning, when I was, before I came here this morning, I was listening at the news. And the news, as you know, there is a campaign, a electoral campaign or presidential campaign that is going on. But I was paying attention to the news because of one thing, and one thing only this month, because this is Black History Month. So with that in mind, when I was listening to the news, I said, "Oh, what is Black History?" Black History to me, it is something not based on the skin color. It is to let people know that we have achieved And what we have achieved, we want to transcend it to our children. So Black History Month is a transcendental movement. We pass it over to our children and pass it on to our children's children. Although it is on during the month of February, but it is an everyday struggle.
Yeah.
The purpose it is a struggle is the fact that you and I, as people, we always have tendency to create our own government. And the purpose to create a government as people is for protection, safety, and security. Myself, in my life, I only know two presidents, François Duvalier, the father, and the son, Jean-Claude. That's the only two presidents I know where I came from, all my life. There's no but and ifs about that one. But guess what happened that bring all of us from Africa, from Ghana, Liberia, Haiti? It is the government that we as the people choose that make us free. In other words, the choice that we have been making has been the wrong choice. And here we are in the diaspora. Some of us can go back, some of us cannot go back. But you might say, oh, I'm not in it because, hey, I have a peaceful, loyal, good government that provides safety and security. And I'm sure that you have heard Donald Trump. When it is not an indictment of him, but when you hear Donald Trump say he is going to do what? Build a wall. Where? To Mexico. But the United States of America is bordered by two nations, Mexico in the south and Canada in the north. Why does Mr. Trump do not say, oh, we're going to build a wall around America? But why had he chosen Zikonpul to say, I'm going down south? Society has a way of creating classes. There is the elite. There is the middle class. And there are the people. The elite is comprised chooses the government. And anything that the elite wants, if you don't believe me, ask Mitt Romney. He said, oh, we are the one person. We don't have to worry about the rest over there. Because the 99% are not going to vote for us anyway. We are going to make the decision. To the point that when he lost the election to President Obama, he did not have an acceptance speech or a denial speech or whatever speech he had to make. Because he is part of the elite. But those in the middle have a problem, which I think it is most of us. The problem we have is that we have contributed by working and becoming a middle class, what they call a middle class. The mistake in the middle class, Reverend Armstrong, is that we make enough money to educate our children so they will not be oppressed by the elite. The wall that divides us, our children can transcend and flow over that wall. So when you hear someone say, I'm going to build a wall, and he might be the next president of the United States of America, there is reason to be concerned. John the Baptist this morning gave you the antidote. And if you don't believe me, a good friend of mine, before we go to the Bible, a good friend of mine provided me a Daily News. And the Daily News said, Donald Trump, the Antichrist. I think it's right. I cannot write that good. So don't blame me. Donald Trump, the Antichrist. He said, the Pope said, anyone who wants to build walls and not bridges is not a Christian. So this morning, we have a passage before us. And in that passage, which is the Samaritan woman. The story of the Samaritan woman, if you have your Bible, look at verse 4. The Bible said Jesus has needed to go where? To go to Samaria. Jesus has needed to go to Samaria. But before John stated that one, Reverend Armstrong, John tell us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. He said of the record clear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things was created by Him, and without Him, nothing that was made would have been made. John make you believe that the one who called you to go on a mission to Haiti is the one who is going to protect you when the earthquake is coming. You don't even know it. You will not die in it. Because He sends you on a mission. So you're going to be landing 2 hours before the earthquake. But by the time you say, oh, I'm going to my hotel. He says, no, son. You go over there. Leave the hotel alone. And it's when you come back, you know, the hotel crumbled and everyone in it died. And my pastor was in Haiti that day. And many of you went to Haiti that day. John set the record straight. The all-knowing God knows what is coming. So therefore, He had need to go to Samaria. He is teaching you and I to understand prejudices when we see, when we hear, and how to confront it. What is prejudice? Hey, it is prejudices and biases. It's a preconceived opinion about others. How do I feel, or what I heard, and I just determine, oh, this person is inferior to me. If you watch the debate, you'll hear that every day, shh, I'm talking. You're quiet. You have heard it every day. So if I can stand here and in debate with other candidates and pretending I'm superior to the candidate, what about you? What about you who cannot stand at the podium with him and run as president of the United States?
Well,
how inferior he see you already. Because you know already, I don't know about you, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know I'm a descendant of slaves. Slave has always been at the bottom ladder of society. And they were considered not a human, one-fifth of a man. We were unable to vote. We were unable to even go to a restaurant. My wife, who is very young, told me when she used to come from, she was born in North Carolina, when her mother used to come to North with them, they have to stay in the car and mommy go in the back of the restaurant to buy what they have to buy. Because we were considered inferior. And yet today, in 2016, we have someone claiming that, hey, shh, I'm talking. And it's sad that a lot of my brothers are following him. This morning on the news, we hear that a lot of evangelical Christians are supporting him in the Bible Belt. The Samaritan woman, Jesus teach us one thing. There was a wall being erected between the Samaritans and the Jews. So Jesus intentionally went to Samaria to destroy the wall. He went ahead of his disciple and sat there. And while the woman came at noon, and Jesus engaged the woman with no hesitation. And Jesus said to her, hey, I'm thirsty, give me something to drink. She said, oh, what are you talking about? You're a Jew. Because there was a barrier, a wall erected between the Jews and the Samaritan. So Jesus is teaching you and I how to overcome the wall, the prejudices, the biases that will keep you and your children at the bottom. And what happened? When Jesus started talking, engaged the woman. So when you go home, you can read the whole passage. And you would see that when Jesus engaged the woman, and as the woman, the conversation or the dialogue is going on, and how Jesus is teaching you and I to take a stand in society. For He is the voice who called you. He is telling you and I that there is an undeniable divider in society and in every society. And you, as Christian, it is your duty to go and break that wall down. It is not to say like we're going to say, oh, Gorbachev, turn that wall down. No. It is by using the word of truth.
That's right.
Because minority is always the slandered of those who have. The Bible bring you a woman. The woman is a minority. As a minority, You see all the cash she has? She has five husbands. And a sixth one was not hers. So, or us. I remember, it is a true story. If you don't believe me, you can ask Dr. Smith about that story. We had a friend. He was at Mercy County Community College. Living in America. And Ebola happened in Africa. He went to school, to Mercy County Community College. When he got there, Pastor Armstrong and the young man went to school, but he missed the bus. The first bus to take him there on time, he missed that bus. So he took the second bus. Because he was late, when he left the bus stop inside Mercy County campus, he ran into the school. So he was, the professor said, "Oh, you tired?" He said, "Yes, I was running from the bus because I'm late." The boy says, "Oh, you're sweating." He said, "Yes, I've been running." He said, "Don't you have Ebola?" And the professor called security on him. So the young man has to run. Now he was running from here to the back of the church, Deacon Pool. Now he has to run from Mercy County all the way out on the highway for security to catch him because he wanted to go to work after school. Minority always been tagged with certain things because it has been placed by the elite. So how do we respond to the mission that has been confided unto us? For Christ has given you a mission. It is sad to see that a lot of my brothers, the same skin color as I, are claiming Trump victory. We are going to vote for Trump. I'm not saying don't vote for him, that's you. But I'm saying that a lot of our brothers are claiming this. There is a change in society we can hold. Because those who have has a way of taking away what you have. If you don't believe me, when I came to Trenton for 30 years ago, we used to have good old Robert right here off with one. They used to have the GM plant in Ewing. They used to have the beam in Trenton. Where are they? They used to have a hospital right here, functional. Mercer County Hospital. Where is the hospital?
We
used to have libraries in Trenton. Where are the libraries? They have a way of taking what you have. And the worst part, now, if a young lady, I know you are old like me, if a young lady has to give birth in Trenton, there is no hospital, Reverend Armstrong, that will, a young woman can go to Trenton and say, "My baby was born in Trenton." There are no maternity room in Trenton, New Jersey, the capital of New Jersey. And the worst part, where I was from 3 months ago, the hospice, that was the only place we had one hospice where people can die peacefully, was at St. Francis. They moved it back to Robert Wood Johnson. So there is no place in Trenton to be born, and no place in Trenton to die. Those who have taken away from us. Because the people choose a government because of need of what? Protection and justice. Where is the justice? And you are the voice. This is the worst part. This is what we call the undeniable criteria. Christ gave us something that we cannot, if you're looking at by your side, you cannot fulfill. But Christ reminded, the Bible reminded you and I, we live by faith and not by sight. In other words, even if something looks impossible, we can transcend it.
That's right.
Just by telling the truth.
Amen.
Just not by protesting, but just by proclaiming the word that Christ has put in you. For all of you who are here, we are no longer slaves. We are ambassadors for Christ. So therefore, we are dignitaries. Wherever we go, like the young lady said this morning, what do you deserve? You respect. You impose respect. Because you bring something that the world cannot take away from you. For it is Christ who gave it to you. The norm and standard of society today need to be satisfied. And what do? They separate the good and the bad.
Yeah.
They say, "Oh, the kids on Saturday Avenue down this part are bad. those on Spring Street down this side are bad. Oh, those over here are good. It is the norm of society who create those things. And believe it or not, no matter what we do, we cannot fight that fight. To say, oh, this is bad, so it's bad. That's why we just go with the flow. But Christ called you in this passage. Let me go to the Bible now. The Samaritan woman at the well in Jesus' story, it is a social issue. But the barrier was erected by both social and religious. The social issue is that in 722 before Christ came, the Assyrian came to Samaria, what they call the Northern Kingdom. Invade the Northern Kingdom, take all of the people who have skills with them to Assyria, and left those who don't have. So that the society was divided into two, those who have and those who don't have.
Yeah.
What we call today the have and the have not. So the have nots always suffer. So what the Assyrians did, they bring all those have nots they have at their house, they brought them to the have nots they left behind, and they do what we call ethnic cleansing. So they bring more poverty and more ignorance in the land, to the point that the Samaritans were worshiping two gods, the God of Abraham and something else God. Someone else God, excuse me. So therefore, when the Jews came from their plight also, after the Babylonian invaded the southern kingdom and took them into exile, when the king gave them an edict to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. So therefore, they come as the elite. Both, we have the king behind us. Second, we kept the faith of Abraham. So we never mix the faith of Abraham. And you can see that in Psalm 136. Oh, why would I sing by the river? Because the Jews refused to sing when they were on their way to Babylon. The harp, the hand, the instrument, they refused to sing because they said, we are slaves. So why do we sing a song to the Lord? But the Lord delivered them. See, that social dilemma that we are confronted today came to divide the Jews and the Jews, because the Samaritans were still Jews left behind, and the wall was erected. And Jesus called you and I. So in this story, Jesus wanted you and I to know. You don't go around Samaria. You don't. Because that's what the Jews used to do. If they have to go somewhere in Galilee or wherever, what they do, they go around and around until they reach their destination point. But Jesus did what? Went straight to Samaria.
Yeah.
And when he get there, he wait. He wait patiently. And why waiting patiently is important for you and I? Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, what did Jesus say to you? Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
Man is the most difficult person to fish because they have an excuse for everything, plus they have more knowledge than you, even if they don't know nothing. And Jesus knows that. So he said, I will mold you, I will transform you. When he said, I will make you, I will change you.
Yeah.
So you will understand the mindset of man. You will understand the mindset of society, regardless of the level you are. So when they see you, they will recognize in you that I am in you. And one of the best passages for you and I during Black history is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible claims that when they see the boldness of Peter and John, because Peter and John stood before the doctors of the law, but when they see their boldness, what the Bible says? They recognize them as ignorant and unlearned. That's what the Bible says. These are not my words. Peter and John, the disciples, were ignorant and unlearned. But there is a big but. A big transition. But But they recognize them for being with Jesus. When you are in Jesus, there is no barrier that you cannot transcend. When you are in Jesus, there is no wall that you cannot tear down. When you are in Jesus, your children have a future. Your grandchildren have a future. When you are in Jesus, your seed has a future. Your state has a future. Your United States of America has a future. When you are with Jesus, no one can stop you. For he is the overcomer. He is, has all power in his hand. And he transferred that power unto you. Jesus. Jesus called you in that story to learn how to teach you, excuse me, how to transcend and overcome the norm of society. When I came here, we had a middle class. In the 70s in America, you don't need a high school diploma to get a good job. Even at the beginning of the 80s, except my cousin, President Reagan, when he became in power, he just went and said, hey, he's going to outsource all the jobs. Yes, he's my cousin. He outsourced all the jobs when I'm strong, sent them abroad. So we here will not have work. Because if he outsourced all the jobs, what is left? Nothing. If you don't believe me, look at Trenton. What job are in Trenton besides state jobs? Give me one more, in Trenton. Give me one single supermarket, in Trenton. There are no jobs in Trenton. Even the city government, sometimes I lament. How does the city government function when there are nothing for the city to lean on financially or economically? Because those who have, they have a way of strangle you. So where is the middle class? They can take it away from you and you and you anytime they want. So Jesus is cautioning you to open your eyes and your mind. So when you hear someone, I didn't make that, by the way. I told you that already. When you hear someone here, just by hearing, someone said, I win. When I win, you win. But we are not in the same pool, Rev. We're not in the same pool. Because you are thankful that here, you're that high, and I'm that low. When you win, I win. You know what language is it? It is, it's a casino language. The house always win, and whoever went to casino, you are it. I will say the word. Because Donald Trump made his fortune by winning because he don't gamble. But what is there for a senior citizen to do if they don't go to a casino? Give me one thing a senior citizen can do if she or he don't go to the casino. It's a pastime. So Trump will always win. But if Trump wins the presidency, I know he's going to send me back to Haiti. I know. He already said it. He did not hesitate. He doesn't hesitate to say. He doesn't hesitate. If Donald Trump wins, when he said illegal immigrants, you know what he's going to do? He's going to take your union, so he will pay you $2 a day, like they do in Haiti, and force you to work or flee to somewhere else. I don't know where you will be fleeing because he's going to be wrong. So he can capture you before you get the walls. Vote for him if you want. I'm sorry, Rev. Okay, so pay attention. Pay attention to what is going on. Be wise. That's what Jesus came to teach us.
That's right.
When he went to Samaria, now he is sending you to Samaria. And I will take my seat after that, Rev. Jesus is sending you to Samaria. Because there is a need for you, wherever you are. Whatever community you are living, either you say it's a proficient neighborhood, if it's a very good, wealthy neighborhood, wherever you are going, remember you are a member of Samaria. The wall is always erected. You have a good job? Sure, you have a good job. But Chris Christie doesn't pay the pension fund. pension, your pension can be taken. You, if you don't believe it, you remember Enron? You remember the Enron project? What did Enron do? They took all people's money. And everyone went broke. What happened to them? Nothing. Nothing happened to them. So you and I today, the Samaritan story of the woman at the well is telling you, Jesus is cautioning you and letting you know you have the power not to be brought down because he has raised you up. The Samaritan story tells you, well, your job is to do. That's the concluding part of the story. What happened to the woman who fell in fear when Jesus said, oh, give me a drink. He said, oh, man, what are you talking about? The woman drove back because the woman said, oh, you're a Jew. What are you talking about? But after Jesus engaged her in the story, you know the conclusion. The woman went and told everybody, come and hear a man. Come and hear a man. She became the ambassador, not only for herself, but for the whole town. The whole, not one person in town remember who she was. Because Christ has transcended her. Although she has six men, but Christ has transformed her into a spiritual being. So she can be a voice in the town, and the whole town followed her. That undeniable divider, you can transcend it. Go and do like the Samaritan woman. Go and proclaim the word. May God bless you. May he guide you. May he protect you.
Let the church say amen. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, I want you to help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Preachers preached. She preached a socially relevant, Christocentric, Bible-based message that challenges us to think about who we really are. I don't want you to miss verse 21, because the text says, when she was worshiping people and places, Jesus told her, there's going to come a time when you don't worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. And I believe that when we worship the Father, we put God first in our lives. Then God begins to break down social barriers and any other barrier. And so I want to invite everyone to stand to their feet just as we extend this invitation. The deacons and the deaconess are out in the congregation as agents to receive anyone who wishes to come. And so it is our prayer here at the Shiloh Church that you would give serious thought about where your soul is going to spend eternity. Fraternities and sororities, as much as they are socially relevant, they won't save you. Jobs, degrees, they won't save you. Family won't save you. The only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus. One day when we die, the question has to be asked, where will my soul spend eternity? If you have not made up in your mind where that soul is going to spend eternity, I'm asking you today to think about it, pray about it, and act on it. Membership in a church doesn't save you. Only a relationship with God the Father saves you. And you can have that through Jesus, his Son. So we come today. Anyone here wishes to give their life to God? Accept the free gift of salvation? Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Anybody here knows Jesus, but they don't have a church home? I want to extend an invitation for you to join us at the Shiloh Church. We're not a perfect church, but we stand on the Word of God. And we preach it and we teach it and we sing about it to the best of our ability. Is there anyone? Anyone else? Anyone wishes to join with us today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. For you, God, your Lord of creation and Lord of life. You brought us this far along the journey. You watched over us as we slept last night. You woke us up this morning. You brought us to this place of worship. And so we stop right here today, God, at the intersection of our past and our future, asking, dear Lord, that you will continue to manifest your glory in the lives of these who are here today. I pray that we could be like that Samaritan woman, where we would drop the scales from our eyes and realize we're talking to Jesus. And realize that Jesus wants to give us some water. And that we would drink from that water and never be thirsty again. Help us, God, to be better believers. Help us to be better worshipers. For those who worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh God, we want to be like that Samaritan woman. Not in the negative ways, but in all of the ways in which she came to realize that she was talking to Jesus. Help us, God. Help us to realize that we can have a little talk with Jesus, who can tell us all about our troubles. God, I pray right now that you would lift somebody's heavy burden and let them know that everything is going to be all right. Oh God, I ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to be over everybody, somebody, anybody in the sanctuary, that they may be transformed and changed by the word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May your word convict us, God, in the name of Jesus, that when we follow your word, that no demon, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because Jesus is on our side. Oh God, have your way today, and we shall give your name glory, praise and honor, for you're worthy. If we had 10,000 tongues, God, we couldn't thank you enough. But we're going to open up our mouth and we're going to say, thank you, Lord, because you've been good to us. Thank you, Lord, for fighting our battles. Thank you, Lord, for moving the mountain. Thank you, Lord, for opening the door. Thank you, Lord, for building the bridge. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me in my right mind. Thank you, Lord. 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 Anybody got to thank you in their spirit today? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. And amen. Give God a praise offering in this place. Anybody want to be like the Samaritan woman? I know a man who healed my body, who told me everything about myself. I've met a man, and his name is Jesus. God bless you, and God keep you, as I pray. You may be seated.
Amen.
We thank the Lord today for the preacher. Before